Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we welcome you. Also, those joining us through our online affiliates around the world, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. You know, I've always said on this program, and I've always believed it, that all of us have a story to tell. I have to say, though, after reading the book written by our next guest, it definitely applies to all of us, especially when it comes to business. We're excited to welcome Esther Choi to our program today. Esther is the founder and president of the Leadership Story Lab, but she's also the author of a book I had a chance to read called Let the Story Do the Work, The Art of Storytelling for Business Success. Now, we talked to a lot of authors on this program who have written novels, but how can storytelling help you in business? Well, Esther's going to share with you how it's been able to help her, but also in the book she gives us some really good examples about how we can apply it in our own lives to be able to not only be more successful in business, but also to be able to help others as well through our personal stories, to make those connections with people that would then help them to either align with us or to join us in the work that we're doing. If you're just not hearing about Esther's book, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you can get your own copy of it. But Esther, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And, you know, like I said, after reading this book, I totally now kind of rethink the way I look at the way we tell stories and the way that we can use stories. Because, as I said, I've always said to people, hey, you have a story to tell. You ought to share it. And you really show us in this book how, especially in business, that's how we make connections with people. And quite honestly, Esther, when I was thinking about my own life and my own journey, I thought, you know what? It's my story that a lot of people kind of resonate with and kind of align themselves with, too, when it comes to me. What has it been like for you to kind of see that light bulb go off for people?
Well, fortunately, a lot of people come to me having sort of rammed their head against the wall long enough to realize that what they've been doing isn't working. So we tend to regurgitate facts. We tend to care a lot about what we do, and we tend to be expert in what we do. So we know a lot. We assume facts is the only thing that matters in a conversation, especially when we try to persuade people. And so at the end of the day, a lot of people inundate, or I would call a data dump, on their audience, and they're frustrated. They can't figure out, well, you know, this is the best solutions, really. If you looked at, spend as much time as I have, you know that what we're looking at is the best. Why aren't you buying in?
Right.
Well, people need more than just straight facts, and a lot of it, especially to be convinced, especially to do something about it, because we forget facts just as soon as they come through our head and our mind, but we never forget a story. And so I am very passionate about helping people marry stories, narratives, and facts so that they can be the best they can. They want to be at business.
Exactly. And I think that connection is something we don't always think about, Esther, which is why I love the way that you're able to outline it in this book. I think we should go back, though, a little bit, because one of the things that we learn about you, and I mentioned to you before we began the program, is that we're able to find out more about how you kind of began the Leadership Story Lab, but realizing, of course, the importance of storytelling for yourself. You know, what was it like for you to make that connection to how you could be able to be more successful and to be able to share bits of yourself and being able to do that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because I was an admission officer at University of Chicago Booth School of Business and a top-tier institution. And one of the main things that we struggle with is that we just have way too many applicants and there are seats available. And so many people have the right qualifications, have great qualifications, but it's hard to differentiate them from one another when all their stats pretty much make them look the same.
Right.
But it's the one who can tell stories, weave the facts, and that create a vision, a future of themselves that really aligns with the institutions. So those are the ones that tend to be more successful. And then I realized that, well, yes, that is true when it comes to competitive admissions, but it's also true pretty much anywhere else, any other times when you have a great solution, whether it's a product or service or cause, but the people who you're trying to convince and persuade, in their eyes, in their minds, there are lots of other perfect substitutions. And so they don't see what you have to offer as special as you tend to think of yourself. And so having that compelling stories really opens up the channel and really connects with the audience and the decision maker as to why you or your product or your services is that much better than your competitors.
Yeah. What was it like for you to realize, Esther, because there are some people out there, and I have to quite admit, myself included, that have, in the beginning, I remember not wanting to inject too much of myself into what I did, just kind of focus on the work and kind of build, you know, kind of a wall in between. And I can definitely see the difference in what I was able to achieve then versus now, being more open and personable and I think relatable. Isn't that a relatability factor? One of the big things that you also saw as a connector between the business and the consumer.
That's one big point of differentiation, is that if your audience don't yet know how special it is that you're offering, but they know you because you're talking. And so injecting yourself at the appropriate time and place then creates that sense of fit. And we talk about that in admissions a lot, but that really applies, again, anywhere else in a competitive situation, is that, is there a fit? And that personal relatability, that I heard your story, I can picture your experience, I feel it, and because I can see it, I can feel it, that makes you all that much more real than your competitors.
Exactly. I think that is so true. Another thing that I picked up on in the chapter, Collecting Stories from Everywhere, and I have seen people do this, and I think, you know, and asking one of my friends, they say, I do this as well. I didn't realize I do it. But when you're able to draw on things outside of yourself to make a connection to something that's being discussed, or that you're a point that you're trying to be able to make. You talk about in the book about collecting these stories, Esther, and a lot of times, you know, we just focus on things that relate to us. But I think the important point I gathered from this book that I want you to talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, is the importance of realizing that there are so many stories out there that we hear and may read that may come in handy when it comes to those that we're working with or connecting with, right?
Particularly when it comes to people who aren't comfortable sharing stories about themselves, this is a great compliment, because that takes the pressure, or whether it's a cultural upbringing that we don't want to talk about ourselves too much and we want to focus on other people, then bring in other people's stories, but that all still have a lot of relevance to what you're trying to do. And,
right.
And this goes also back to the very basic point of, you know, if you want to be a great writer, you have to read. Every
right.
single writer will give you that advice. And the same thing with storytelling. If you want to be great at storytelling, you have to collect stories. And then also I find it really comforting in knowing that oftentimes we can be a bit preoccupied with trying to impress other people, when we let others impress us. It is almost just as the same as us being able to impress them with what we can do, what we know, what we have accomplished. And so when you set out to collect stories, you are creating an opportunity for others to impress you. So I don't like to be on the spotlight usually myself, and so I just find it, oh, hallelujah, this is like my one solution that solved most of my problems.
Right, right. I'm glad you mentioned that about it not being an easy thing. I do a lot of interviews, Esther. I don't feel as comfortable being interviewed. It's always weird being on the other side, so I always empathize mm-hmm. with my guests that are and try to be respectful of them when I'm talking with them. You do give us a bit of your story in the book as well as others. I mentioned to you before we began the segment, I had a chance to interview the author of the book Own It, Sally Krawcheck, on our program recently, and mm-hmm. you share a bit of her story. How have these other stories of individuals who've been able to find the connection and importance of storytelling, how has that helped you in building your own brand?
Well, what I always like to say is that the general principle behind telling, building, sharing stories, it's not that hard to understand, but it's extremely hard to incorporate in ways that seem natural and organic and authentic. And the important key throughout my years of teaching and training and coaching is that when my clients read about other people's stories and how they use storytellings in their business, in their personal lives, and how and what that could do, that would have that have done for them, then all of a sudden a whole bunch of light bulbs, not just one, it's a whole bunch of light bulbs all at once lit up for them. And so I, realizing that this is important, I don't want to just, you know, get on a soapbox and talk about something really smart that can impress people. What I like to do is make sure that everyone actually can do it themselves, that can tell great stories, that can incorporate it in what they do, whether it's for work or for play. And so the main thing, besides practicing it, besides doing it, is to really expose yourself to as many other different types of stories across industries as possible.
Right. And I think that is the big thing that all of us, again, can be able to use for sure. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're already having a great conversation today with Esther Choi. Esther is known because of the work she's been able to do as the founder and president of the Leadership Story Lab. But her new book is also getting a lot of attention. I had a chance to read it, and I'm glad to be able to share it with all of you. It's called Let the Story Do the Work, The Art of Storytelling for Business Success. Esther, we've all heard the saying that less is more. You address that in the book because I think so many times people do go too far. they give too much, and they lose the effectiveness. And you address the effectiveness in the book. You know, that is something, and I think for a lot of people, now for myself, I'm the opposite. When I'm nervous, I actually say less versus some people I know when they get nervous, they talk more. Talk to us about that balance of being informative but not being able to lose the interest by giving too much information.
So a lot of people come to me not because they tend to say less. You're pretty unique in that regard. A lot of people come to me because they tend to say too much, especially when they're nervous or when they know the stake is high. And so I always tell people you don't have to be a superhero to tell great stories. You don't even need to be particularly creative or born a good storyteller or communicator. If you just grasp a few handful of basics, key elements, then you're good to go. And to your questions, what do you do when you tend to say too much, and how do you balance that between being informative and not overwhelming your audience? I give them these story outlines. So, for example, if you're asked a question that you have no idea, you've not thought of before, you didn't feel like you have the answers, but you put on the spot, right? Then a lot of us, how we respond to that situation is we talk, or rather we ramble. So I train my clients to, just like a good story that had these outlines, these three-act formulas, in that situation, you only have to cover the same thing over and over again, even if you've never thought of the answers before. The first one is the point. right? And all of that makes up to be, by the way, this is an acronym called PREP, P-R-E-P. So the first thing is you tell them your point. It doesn't matter if it's the world's most profound point, but give them your point. And then you go to R, which is reason or reasons, and give them no more than two reasons to support your point. And then you go to E, which is an example that illustrate the reason or reasons. And then last but not least, you go back to the point, P-R-E-P, right? And so what that does is the same thing really as telling a story, because when you hear a good story, you don't notice it because it has a tight structure, Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3, right? And so you think about, well, in a particular situations, I don't know what the answer is, but I borrow the same key elements in storytelling. I give them a point. I give them my reasons. I give them one brief example to illustrate the reasons, and then I close it with the same point. So you have the beginning, the middle, and an end. You won't win a Pulitzer Prize for that answer, but you'll come across as smart, prepared, authentic, and also somebody who can think on your feet.
Right. You know, Esther, it was great being able to get a snapshot into how you got to where you are today in Chapter 9 of the book, even as you're, you know, articulating this for our audience today. I mean, you know, the uncertainty that you had at one point of even being able to go out and to interact and to, you give the example of the networking event you were going to and what, you know, talking to yourself in the mirror. I mean, I think there are so many people that can relate to that. I have to say another thing that got me, one of the hardest questions for me to answer is, what do you do? You use the question in the book, tell me about yourself, which, you know, I think, again, gives people the opportunity to be able to tell enough and not, you know, tell too much. But how has that question, tell me about yourself, how has that helped to free you, and how have you used it to help free those that you've been able to work with and being able to open up the door to opening up?
Well, I think that question in the context when it's asked, usually in an interview or when you're getting to know someone in a formal setting or sometimes in a formal setting, what people really wanted to know is, I want to know just broad enough about who you are, and I also want to know one thing about you that's deep enough for me to grasp on, something to hold on to. And so the default answer is one that is fact-based, chronological, so just like a resume, except it's you narrated, which can be quite long and boring. And so I use it to, one, help people first think about what is the essence of who you are and what you've done. Now, notice that I didn't say, tell me a summary of everything that you've done.
Yeah.
And so in order for that answer to be relevant and intriguing, my clients first have to think about, well, yeah, really, what is the essence of what I've done that is relevant to this conversation? And then that, to me, is the super fun part. And then the other fun part is then, what story can I tell that illustrate this essence of who I am? And then where can I weave in the important fact, such as I have led three major merger and acquisitions in my company, such as I went to this and that other major institutions. You know, those important facts that do have to get across somehow. And so that bits of it takes some creativity and a lot of fun, because one, when people figure out what are they all about in essence, and two, how do they articulate it with a story? That's almost a freeing experience, because you can feel so confident and delighted to share that story that is not going to be bogged down by facts and figures and numbers that you know at the end of the day nobody's going to remember.
Exactly. I think that's it. And there are so many great, and you just gave, you know, more of a thought about the business aspect of this, Esther, which, you know, realistically is what the book is about. What I also love, though, is the book is great in so many aspects of life. Did you realize that going into this book, that yes, these principles will work whether you're dealing with a nonprofit, you know, or a for-profit business, but also just in your interactions with people, being able to be more engaging with people, being able to be more open, especially in the world that we live in today where people, you know, with social media especially, want to feel like they know you, want to feel a connection to you as a business or a brand. Did you go into this book realizing that it would have that effect largely outside of business?
No, but I'm delighted to know that. I think because at the core of who I am is about personal one-on-one relationship.
Right.
It's about building trust, and it's about inspiring people who can tackle things that they didn't think they could, they were capable of. And so I think that part of me I can't shut off. And I am so happy to hear that although the book, the stated goal is to help everyone, every reader, and equip them with the tools of storytelling in business, but I think at the core of who I am, it's about that relationship, that trust, and inspire people to do great things.
For sure. I think, and it definitely accomplishes that. I think the other thing that I picked up on is that it is work. You've given, even in this conversation, Esther, you referred to, I mean, Courtney, I mean, the exercises that are even in the book for us to be able to do. I mean, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's something that does take time. It also takes us being able to show an interest in those that we're trying to reach, those that we're reaching out to. You even shared that in the book as you're talking about knowing your audience. And even knowing your audience, it doesn't mean that everything is going to appeal with everyone, but being able to use it as a connection. And I think, too, I thought about it as well, when we think about the commercials that connect with us, we think about what makes us want to donate to a certain cause. It's that story, the story that comes out of, you know, you can help this, or you can help this dog, or you can keep this from happening. And we feel that based on our own, you know, our own likes and the things that matter to us. Okay, I want to be a part of this thing. Is that another thing that you've realized?
Yeah, and I think you know, to a live audience, I like to tell the story about a business school professor who not only helped me through a really tough required statistics course, but at the end of the required course, I volunteer to go back to take not one more, not two more, but three more stats courses. And I never used it, unfortunately, after business school, but I am so delighted that I realized that, hey, I can actually do this. I didn't think I was smart enough in this regard to take that many, but I did. And that sense of confidence, and it's priceless.
Right, for sure. So much that we can get out of this in our professional and personal lives, I believe, Esther. So glad you and I had a chance to discuss it. Again, Esther Choi has been our guest. The book is called Let the Story Do the Work, The Art of Storytelling for Business Success. I always tell people this half hour always goes by so fast when you're having fun. And
has it already been 5 hours?
It has already been a half hour. And I think, you know, the great thing is because there's so much great information in here, we just really scratched the surface in this conversation. Hopefully to whet the appetite of our audience to see how this book can be able to help them as entrepreneurs as well as, you know, in their day-to-day lives as well. So the book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. We definitely encourage you all to head over there and get it for yourself. Esther, how can our audience stay connected with the Leadership Story Lab and the work that you're doing there?
Come to our website. We just have a brand new one. It's Leadership Story Lab, all in one word, .com, Leadership Story Lab. In fact, we are creating a book club inspired guide for everyone. It's free for download. It'll be available as of September 1st. And what it is that you can get together with a small group of friends and colleagues, have the book with you, and then this guide will help you and your friends and your colleagues help each other build and craft their stories. And we're also on Twitter, Leaders Story Lab, at Leaders Story Lab. And I would love, 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 love to hear how people are using tools and frameworks that we talk about in the book, and how it has helped you tell your stories.
All right. Well, definitely feel free to share that. I'll be posting my review on Amazon.com soon as well. Esther, congratulations to you again on the book, and thank you so much for a great conversation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the pleasure is definitely all mine, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. I want to thank our good friend Anne Marie of Good Red PR for setting up this interview for us today, and thank all of you for tuning in to our program, either on the radio dial in Mississippi or through one of our online affiliates around the world. And if you all came in late, you missed part of the interview with Esther, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site, so head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and share with your friends from there too. Also, I want to definitely give a shout out to the Leadership Story Lab that was actually live tweeting with us during the conversation, sharing some of the points there. So I retweeted those on my page, so you can definitely see those when you head over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb as well, and make sure you all are following them on social media too. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.